joining us for Going Mental. This is your host, Aaron Smith.
And Nick Moyle, also sometimes called Nick Mo, because that's how it works.
All right, just to start off the
episode. I don't really do that, though.
To start off the episode, we wanted to issue a little bit of a trigger warning for today's episode. We will be talking about
suicidality and suicide and things associated with that. So
if you're not in that space where you can listen to that, please click off. All right, thank you. All right, Nick, you studied a lot more for this than I did.
It's all right.
This is your episode. You go.
Okay. So, to start off, I wanted to talk a lot about just finding hope, honestly, in even when you feel like there isn't any, for victims and also for friends and family of victims. I've known a lot of people that have had suicidal thoughts, suicidal tendencies, me included. Sometimes passive, sometimes active. Erin, you want to talk about that?
Yeah, so basically passive ideation and active ideation are two classifications clinically that we can kind of gauge on where a person is at. So
with thoughts of self-harm.
Yes, with thoughts of self-harm or possibly committing suicide. So with active ideation, you have intent, you have a plan, and you like basically are just like, you know how you're going to commit suicide. Whereas passive ideation is where, you know, life is hard. You probably don't want to be alive. You don't really have like intent to do anything today, or not even like this hour or whatever. Like you just are not feeling like, you're just feeling a little like suicidal, like in the sense that you don't have a plan, but you do feel that. And the difference becomes really important with friends and family, as well as physicians and psychologists, therapists.
Whoever you're working with.
Yes,
doctors.
Exactly. Like they are like mandatory, and they need to report like people to a safe place.
Yep.
If they are in an active ideational state. If you're in passive ideation, that's not necessarily as big of an emergency state as being in active ideation. So that's kind of a little bit of the difference. You can be in passive ideation for hours, days,
weeks, months, years, honestly.
yeah, it's more of a long-term mentality.
Thing.
Whereas,
there's a difference between no will to live and a will to end your life.
Exactly.
That's
yeah.
The difference.
It's more like, I feel like, I don't know, personally, like when most people who are in like that highly emotional state where they are feeling so much emotional pain, they're going to end their life now. It's not necessarily like the most planned out thing in the world. Like, of course there's exceptions to everything, but
that is more active ideation.
It's not necessarily as planned out as you might think. Like, it's not like something would be like, I don't know, like kamikaze kind of style, like where you're dying for the nation or you're dying for something you love or anything like that. It's more of, I'm in a highly emotional pain right now. I need to end this now. And it's more of like a short-term thing as opposed to passive ideation, which is more usually more long-term.
Yeah. So a lot of the times, I don't know. So the culture that I grew up in was that society told me that suicide is bad, suicide's a sin, suicide, religiously speaking, you're going to hell for it. What I've realized and what I've learned is that we can't judge where people are. This is more for the friends and family of those that have committed suicide or know people that have. There's several questions that we need to ask. Was the person mentally ill? Was he or she so deeply depressed? Actually, let me restart that. There's not just questions we need to ask. These are things that I believe God takes a second look at. And we don't always know these, but these are still the same questions.
And, like, honestly, who are we to judge as human beings that are imperfect of other human beings who are also imperfect? We don't understand people's mentality for what they did, why they did. And honestly, you kind of just have to, like, have the faith that it's all going to work out if you are religious, or that you may never know. you know, honestly, you may never know why they did what they did. And that's hard to become like at peace. Like, I know friends personally who've had really like close friends commit suicide, and it's hard to kind of accept that. But I know that once you kind of get to that point where, like, you know, you've grieved and you can move past that, like, there's no way that you can know, honestly. And you're going to be more at peace if you accept that you don't know. And which is, like, hard, especially with people who have, like, us who have OCD, who hate uncertainty, and it's the worst. We get that.
No, it's definitely, it's a struggle. So just thoughts to think about that'll all be factored in, and just things to think about was that person mentally ill? Was he or she so deeply depressed as to be unbalanced or otherwise emotionally disturbed? Was this suicide a tragic telephone call for help that went unheeded too long or progressed faster than the victim intended? More often than not, for me, I've had several instances of active ideation. I quit. I have a concealed carry permit, but I quit carrying just because I don't feel mentally stable enough to carry a gun. That's just me. So I don't carry anymore. I don't want to hurt anybody, and I don't want to hurt myself or have that thought to hurt myself. So, thoughts to help people with that, if they do have any way that they could hurt themselves, whether it be guns, knives, find a way to hide those and keep those put away. If they're their personal weapons, but they're talking about it, talk to them about it. Maybe recommend, hey, would you be open to me holding on to that stuff for now? Or would you be open to taking it home and letting your parents hang on to that for now?
Yeah, and honestly, if you have a trusted friend or anyone like that, like, that you trust to be like, hey, I'm not feeling so great right now, can you just please take this? I remember a great act of bravery of a friend of mine. This person gave some pills and some razor blades to some of our friends just so that this person could be safe.
Yep.
And that was just so brave to me. And it's hard. It's hard to admit you're at that point because, I don't know, for me, I felt really weak at that point when I've been there.
And you feel stupid. You feel... I still remember when I gave my gun to my roommate and said, hold on to this for me. He was my roommate. He's not anymore. But I just said, hey, can you take this for me? And he just kind of looked at me like, yeah, okay. And then he kind of hadn't known what I'd been dealing with, what I'd been fighting with. And so if you yourself have those thoughts, reach out for help. You can't do it alone. You so often want to feel alone. And then that was the other thing, too. Don't let how people react to you the very first time you share determine how you're going to act the rest of the time. If somebody gets mad at you for wanting to commit suicide, they're not the person to talk to about it. That's going to suck, and it's going to hurt a lot. A lot, a lot. Like, you're going to probably want to commit suicide more because of it. But don't. Find somebody else that's willing to listen. More often than not, just my friends that I grew up with are good people to go to, that just know me and what I've dealt with, and my roommates are good people. I love my roommates. My roommates now are incredible people. They help me out a lot, and that's the cool part, is because as you share, you honestly, it was what I've for me what I've realized is that, and maybe this isn't for everybody, this isn't the same reason for everybody, but that whole idea of was it a long unheeded phone call for help, for me, that's what it always had been, was I'd wanted, like, I just want connection with people. I want to feel like people care about me. And so by opening up, as hard as it is, it gives opportunity for connection and growth. That's, and Brené Brown actually talks about it. That's actually being courageous. That's being, that is courage. Thinking you have to take it all on your own and thinking you have to be stronger than you actually are capable of being on your own. I believe the devil wants us to think that. And that's just not who we're meant to be. We have family, we have friends, and we have people that care about us.
For me, this all comes down to, you know, it is a great measure of personal strength to ask for help. I think, especially, like, I think it's just kind of like our culture in general, not even just here in Utah, in the United States, to kind of just be this self-sufficient powerhouse of...
You have to do it all on your own.
Yeah, you have to do it. You have to be self-reliant. You have to, you know, get that big job, like, be in a stressful environment all the time, be doing, like, over, like, stretching yourself in every single area of your life to be successful. It's, like, no wonder people call it the great rat race. Like, honestly, it feels like that a lot. And I think as college students, we start falling into that. We start thinking that, oh, I have to take this certain amount of classes, and I need to be on top of everything. I need to be balanced socially, mentally, physically, etc. And it can get to you. And I think that's kind of indicating both of Nick and I's OCD. But I think that's kind of a normal fear that everyone has, that they're not doing something enough. Or not, like, they're just, like, not good enough at all. And with, honestly, a lot of these anxieties and things, we are kind of getting into a world where we're more isolating ourselves from the people around us who love us the most. And, like, there's no wonder there's an increase in, I don't know, you could argue it both ways, there's an increase in realizing that a lot more people have anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
Like, well, everyone has anxiety, but it has an anxiety disorder, and comorbid, which basically means, it's a fancy word that means basically it's because of or comes with depression. And suicide is in the mainstream medias these days because of the things and the pressures that we all go through.
By the way, there's a Netflix documentary. I don't subscribe to the Netflix documentary. It's a mockumentary, actually. It's not a mockumentary. It's like a... It's called 13 Reasons Why.
Uh-huh.
I would highly recommend do not watch that. There's been accounts of people that have committed suicide because of watching it.
Mm-hmm.
It puts the wrong amount of blame. It puts... There's not really blame when it comes to suicide. Sometimes there is if you're a bully. But, I mean, there's a factor of that, but it doesn't mean that you're the sole cause. There's more going on to it than that.
Exactly.
Actually, I don't know the answer to that, to be honest.
Honestly, like, we probably will never know the answer to that.
Yeah.
Like, what exactly goes through a person's mind? Like, I mean, environment. Like, I think... But yes, that's definitely not a good, accurate representation. A song out by 21 Pilots. Uh-huh. Wow. Go Aaron. Only quotes 21 Pilots. It's called Neon Gravestones. And my problem, we glorify those even more when they, my opinion, our culture can treat a loss like it's a win. And right before we turn on them, we give them the highest of praise and hang their banner from a ceiling. Communicating a further engraving on earlier grave is an optional way. This is the part I actually wanted to quote.
Well, the rest of it was really good, too.
Don't get me wrong. The rise in awareness is beating a stigma that no longer scares us. But for sake of discussion and spirit of fairness, could we give this some room for a new point of view? And could it be true that some could be tempted to use this mistake as a form of aggression, a form of succession, a form of a weapon, thinking, I'll teach them. Well, I'm refusing the lesson. It won't resonate in our minds. I'm not disrespecting what was left behind, but pleading that it does not get glorified. Maybe we swap out what it was that we hold so high. Find your grandparents or someone of age. Pay some respect for the path that they paved, to life they were dedicated. Now that should be celebrated. And that really, like, honestly, there's some, like, quips you can have definitely about the song. Kind of sounds like Tyler Jones is pretty depressed, as always. but it brings up a point that at this point, it kind of borders on glorifying suicide as a way to go. And I felt like that was what 13 Reasons Why did. And from what I read about it and from what I've researched about it, it very much takes a very sad situation and it tries to derive meaning from it in a way that is not productive or helpful to those left behind.
Yeah.
And... like, I feel like to label suicide as, like, I mean, some can be tempted to use it as a weapon or a way to get back at people, definitely, to get back at those around them.
Please don't.
Seriously, no.
That's not worth it, because then you're gone, and what do we do without you?
But, honestly, like, for most people, I feel like it is trying to get out of pain. And that's why I was so furious over it, was because it shows out a little bit, but psychologists and, like experts in the field of psychology in general said, don't release this. It's going to have copycat suicides. There's a lot of studies done into copycat suicides, and this was... anyway, I'm just going to get super mad.
No, you're good. There's a girl named Anna Bright. Her parents committed suicide after binge-watching it, and then she followed suit and also committed suicide. More than just them, too. Those are those copycat suicides she talked about, and those are real people that took their lives because of a video. Just... kind of pisses me off, not gonna lie. Also, too, just some thoughts while Aaron was talking is be careful of the music you listen to. I know that... I don't know how okay this is to say, but Linkin Park is not a good band to go to when you're depressed.
No.
Just Chester Benning... I don't even remember his name. Chester something. Bedingfield or Beddington. The main singer, lead singer. A lot of his songs were about suicide and kind of led to that thought. Heavy is one of his songs. I don't like my mind right now. Stirring up problems like it's so unnecessary. I wish I could slow things down. I want to let go, but there's comfort in the panic. And I drive myself crazy thinking everything's about me. And it's just like, why go there? If you're already feeling like crap, why go there?
There's a difference between bringing up like a social awareness and being lyrically gifted and you know, appreciating that when you're in a stable position. And there's a difference between that or using it to further yourself down the rabbit hole. Because you don't know. Because I feel like suicidal thoughts and tendencies and depression itself is just so sticky. Like,
yeah,
it just builds on itself and it goes down further. If those things, like, they're not going to help you. Like, don't go read, like, Thomas Hardy if you're feeling depressed.
Yeah, no, I agree. On another note, too, though, things that I found that helped me. Sorry, I'm going to switch gears on this, Aaron.
No, it's all good.
We
got off on a big tangent.
That's okay. That's a good tangent. I like that tangent. Some things that I personally, Aaron kind of alluded to it earlier, things that make it harder, like maybe we do just see more anxiety. Maybe people are getting more and more depressed. I personally think it's a lot of social media and time on our phones. She mentioned being isolated, and that's being suicidal actually is because you feel alone. Like, that's at least it's been my experience. You just feel alone. You don't feel like anybody really cares and is there for you. And so by me putting down my phone, and I don't also too I'm gonna say this as lovingly as I can, put your phones down put your phones down, because you kind of, I don't know, for me my phone just sucks me into a deep
abyss, rabbit hole.
You just go down it, and it isolates you from people. It cuts you off from the real world. And
it's kind of like being in an OCD loop.
Yeah, really though. Like, you just feed yourself into the negativity or the endless Facebook feed.
Yeah, or feeling like a failure because you're not married.
Or because, yeah, exactly, because all your friends are getting married. Or something. Oh, honestly,
or that you're not perfect, or that you're, I don't know.
Just honestly, in some way, it's just not. It's just put it down. There's been a lot of light that I've seen in my life from not being on my phone.
Yeah, go out in freaking nature.
Go have fun.
Go have a hike.
Get out of your apartment. Go walk around campus.
Learn a new skill. Paint something.
Draw something. I used to do graffiti because I thought it was really fun. Not illegally, but I did graffiti on poster boards. It was actually quite fun.
Yeah, seriously. Find something you love, and like that can help a lot in those situations. Like, if you love
something...
Don't
do anything illegal.
Yeah, don't do anything illegal or something that's harming you or others.
I rarely get on Facebook. The only time I get on Facebook is to see what my group of friends are doing on any given night of the week. But then I log off.
Yeah.
Because I just... My phone, when I'm on my phone, it isolates me.
Yeah.
And it pulls me away from people, and it pulls away from interactions. And also too, just a weird thing you can do. This is a stupid trick, but it works. Instead of looking at the ground as you're walking around campus, look up and enjoy the trees, enjoy the squirrels, laugh at them. I think they're kind of cute and they're kind of
so
funny.
Cute.
Find, basically, be grateful and find reasons to have joy. Joy, you can only feel joy when you're grateful. Like those two coincide greatly. Brené Brown talks about it a lot. Also, too, a really good book to read is the Book of Mormon and the Bible. And those are really good. And those have helped me more in my time of struggle and weakness. Just finding an outlet, something that's just my outlet. Finding an outlet, something to turn to, something to keep me around.
Going back to your values and beliefs, whether that be like if you're Hindu or you're Buddhist or anything else like that, any kind of thing that is just so valuable to you and just speaks life to you, that is a great thing to turn to. And I know for me, I've felt a lot of peace through reading the Book of Mormon.
Ditto. Another thing too is smiling and looking around, and just anybody that'll make eye contact with you, say, hey, what's up? Or hey, how's it going? Or just, hey, if you know them, say, hey, good to see you.
I also wanted to point out that...
And compliment them too. That's actually really fun.
That is true. Like, there's some things that can't be solved by doing these things. They definitely do help a lot, especially when you're depressed.
Mm-hmm.
At some point, you may need to go see a psychiatrist, because usually depression is caused by a chemical problem in
it's
your
true.
Brain. And if your chemicals are out of whack, like, you can have literally no motivation to do anything. Like, I remember being in such emotional pain on my mission, I couldn't move. And it was really hard. I had to have my companion, like, read the scriptures to me and, like, just kind of talk to me, because I couldn't move. Like, I was such an emotional... Like, it's so hard to describe what that was. But it just felt like I was completely shut down and that I was just, like, my... Not, like, any physical thing, but, like, emotionally, I was just, like... I was done. Like, it was bad.
My mom described it as... There's a crazy Nancy, and her name's Nancy. There's a crazy Nancy, and there's a normal Nancy. And it takes all of normal Nancy's energy to keep crazy Nancy closed in a box.
Yeah.
And that's why it can be so tired, because otherwise you just feel crazy. To me, it feels like when I get in a really worked up spell and a really worked up, and maybe that's not even depression, I guess that's more OCD. That's more OCD for me. My mom's is definitely depression.
To just be clear, like we both have comorbid depression with our OCD and anxiety disorders, and that's very common with anxiety disorders.
Totally.
There's also MDD, which is major depressive disorder, and I definitely have people in my family who have that, and that's different.
I had that for a long time.
Yeah. Well, no, Nick is different than me. There we go.
No, so I had MDD, and getting on meds is actually the thing that helped me the most.
I think it's, like, important to say about medication is, it's not going to solve all your problems.
It gets you to a point that you can solve them yourself.
Exactly. You're not meant to be drugged up so much that, like, you're, like, happy all the time or something. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Like, I felt like that's kind of a stereotype, is, like, oh, that you're, like, no, it gets you to a balanced place chemically where you can feel... Not as
normal,
extreme,
quote unquote.
Yeah, not as extreme of emotions where you are just like so down, like that you can't even function.
Because when I'm not on my meds, and everybody has a different opinion on medication. For me though, when I'm not on meds, I can tell a difference. Like I am really weepy, and it's not just something that I can buck up and change.
Yeah.
And honestly, I think that was the hardest part of all of it, is people that I looked up to and wanted them to love me for who I was, didn't feel like I got that a lot from them in certain regards. In other ways, yes, but in some ways, no.
For me, in most situations like that, I just in situations where you don't really know how to react, and it is in your nature to do so, I just give people a hug and tell them I love them. And I had a friend come out to me a while back, and like, I kind of saw it coming, but like, I didn't want to say anything that was going to hurt him or make him feel like I didn't love him or anything like that. And I knew it took a lot of courage for him to say that. And so I just gave him a hug and told him I loved him because it was true. And I knew that anything I said wasn't going to help him at all. He just needed to hear that from me.
And that, yeah, literally, like, that's when people reach out in those situations, in those extreme situations, they're not looking for you to know the answers. So please don't feel like you have to have all the answers. You might not know the right thing to say, and you don't have to know the right thing to say. But if you're willing to extend that love and just say, hey, I'm sorry, that sucks, and just be there with them. And if it's not your nature to hug, or they don't like hugs, then don't give them a hug. I like hugs. Aaron gave me a hug earlier. I liked it. It was good. I needed it.
Feel free to hug Nick.
Basically, if you see me on campus, I'll just hug you.
Just like a bunch of people just maul you on campus sidewalks. Just like, ah, Nick. Knowing Nick, he'd probably be so down.
I've been here, but honestly, I might get a little overwhelmed at first. Yeah. I don't know you, but okay, hey.
Yeah.
No, if you know me, though.
Honestly,
even if you don't.
We are like, honest, human beings in general are honestly so communal and so community-centered. We strive for connection. What is the point if we don't help each other and care about each other?
If you, and some people, and this is a caveat too, I know some people that are just lone wolves, and they'll reach out when they need help, but if they don't reach out, they're okay, and they don't need to be reached out to. But that's a consistent pattern. They've always been like that. Like, if you know somebody that's really bubbly and outgoing, and then they and that switches to
and they fall off the face of the earth, then you should probably be worried.
Please check on them, because those are signs of either anxiety. Those are signs of mental illness and mental instability.
Drastic changes in personality like that are something to be a little bit.
And actually, from one way to the other too.
Yeah, exactly. Being manic isn't much better because it's like kind of being on like a crazy high for a while. I can't speak personally. I don't have bipolar disorder, but a lot of people have like maybe once or twice in their life gone through like maybe a manic episode. Well,
after
I feel like you're mentally ill.
Well, say after the death of a spouse,
like in a denial phase.
Yeah, it's, I don't know. There's lots of like trigger situations that kick people into such things, and sometimes people get out of it and they're okay.
But like, it's just. If there's any rapid change in like core personality, that's probably not a good sign.
If you've seen Inside Out, literally though, like the way Riley starts acting, where she was all happy and go lucky before, it's because people's islands of personality are down.
Yes, yes, that's a way to look at it. Definitely. No, seriously though, like the islands of personality are like your personality is basically like your core you, your spirit, your mind, I guess.
Your identity, who you are.
Like, who you are, intrinsically. And if that starts to be affected, it means that there's some processing information going off in your brain. The stuff that relates that to the world, the stuff that, like, a great example of this on, a minor scale that affects half the population is getting your period. It's, like, a hormonal shift, and... just think about that times like 20 million, and it's like a kind of like a psychotic episode. I'm not even kidding. Like, it's like hormonal shifts and stuff like that. Like, they trigger.
Sorry, I gave her a look. That's why she said she's not even kidding.
He's like,
a what?
What are you doing?
No, it's like a what? No, I just had never thought of it that way because I'm a guy.
We had this discussion last time. Yeah, no, we had like that discussion last time, like about how like hormones change, like freaking, like f you up, like to be a little bit blunt. Yeah, to put it lightly, like no, but seriously, your body and your brain, like it controls all of that. Like, so when you're on your period, if you're a woman, you're menstruating. It varies woman to woman, like. Hormonal shifts like that, they do affect you. Hormone level changes affect how, like, you feel. They affect your emotions. I don't know a whole ton about that in terms of brain science. If I'm wrong, I'm sorry. But
took a physiology class, I should know. I don't.
But like seriously, like people who are more susceptible to emotional instability, like me, for example.
Ditto.
Like with hormonal changes and things like that, it can really like throw you off. So I feel like for me, once every month, I kind of get to this part where I'm like, oh my gosh, the world is ending, the sky is falling, like, and then I kind of have to take a step back and be like, okay, I can't even trust my own emotions. And this is really frustrating, but it happens to men too, because you go through a hormonal shift around the age of, for women it's 19, I think it's 19 for men as well, it might be 18.
That's actually kind of when that's when my depression and anxiety kicked in, was at that age. And then it
that's
kind of
when
developed.
I self-diagnosed. And because of that major hormonal shifts, it kind of brings those things to the top. It's kind of like being deprived of oxygen on top of Everest. Like, it
mm-hmm.
brings everything to the mm-hmm. surface that was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
We're going on a mission.
That's going to the top of the mountain. kind of to recap, for those going through it, for those having suicidal tendencies, reach out for help, and don't let the way people react to you determine or dictate what your next move is. Unless it's one of unless they act compassionately towards you, then let them help you. But if they freak out, don't let that dictate how you're gonna, if you're gonna share it with somebody else, because somebody else, there's somebody out there willing to listen.
Yeah.
Aaron and I are willing to listen. Well, I know I am, Aaron. Aaron nodded in agreement. She is too.
Yes.
And often, sometimes people get mad because they don't mean to get mad at you. They freak out a lot of the times because they don't know how to act.
It's that fight or flight response where
mm-hmm.
they kind of just get mad because they don't know what to do. They're scared.
Exactly. So if you tell somebody and they freak out, relax. Like, it's okay. And then for those that people do open up to, or people that you're concerned about, don't be afraid to ask people if they're okay. But
do it in a way that is, you're talking to them one-on-one.
Yeah, not in front of people.
Yeah, and you are legit sitting down, like, not like, oh, how are you doing? Like, that's like, in like American culture, that's basically like, what's up?
You're
like,
asking
yeah.
for a, I'm good, thanks.
Yeah.
Like,
no, sit down and be like,
sit down next to them, just say, hey, I've noticed
this. Yeah.
Sorry, you were going to say it.
No. We keep cutting each other off. I've noticed that this are happening. I'm worried for you as a friend. I just want to let you know I'm here and that I love you, and that if you ever need to talk, I am willing to listen.
And I would say, before you even say if you ever need to talk, I would also say, what is there anything you want to talk about? And then just sit and listen.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's going to feel awkward, but just say, are you sure? If they say no. Because
yeah.
sometimes it takes two or three proddings to get it out. People aren't going to, unless you show, not just by word, but by deed, that you're willing to sit there and listen to them, they will not open up to you.
Yeah.
When they're in this stage.
And you got to give them some time. You can't just expect that they're going to spill their guts to you. Like,
and
it takes people a little bit.
It does.
You might sit in awkward silence for a few minutes, or they might not even open up to you then and there.
I would say be comfortable with silence. It's going to take a while. It's something that I actually kind of laugh at whenever my teachers say, any questions? And they look around the room for 2 seconds. They say, okay, moving on. There's not enough time. And in America, it's so funny. We're so against asking, or against silence. We freak out. But silence has a powerful effect.
It really does. Like,
Sorry.
Go ahead.
It allows time for what you're saying or what was said to sink in. And that was another thing, is don't... I tend to be someone that gets too involved with people's lives and tries to take on their problems myself. You can't do that. That's not healthy.
It's an OCD tendency.
I think it's just an empathy tendency, honestly. I know people that don't have OCD that do it.
Seriously.
But it did definitely, OCD doesn't help either.
You're just like, I have to fix everyone.
Yeah, that's true. So be comfortable with silence. Be willing to honestly just listen. And if you don't know what to say, tell them that and say, but hey, I love you, and I thanks for telling me. Is there anybody else you would like to know? Mm-hmm. And then say, I would really, because I care about you and because I love you, and they will know that you do because you've already listened to them and you've already taken the time to hear them.
Definitely.
Say, I really think it would be beneficial if you talk to a professional about this, and I am more than happy to come with you. And if you can't go with them, just say, if you need me to be there, call me, and I'll be on the phone while you're there with them. Or get them to somebody that can go there with them. But so much in the American culture, we value moving forward, getting ahead, doing something. And because of that, we neglect the people around us. It's part of our culture. It sucks. But if we will honestly take the time out of our day to hear somebody that might not be saying anything, to just notice. I've heard stories of people that, of a kid that was going to go commit suicide because he was bullied all the time at school, and one kid saw him drop his books and went and helped him pick his books up, and then they became friends. And then years later, that kid that dropped his books and was going to commit suicide told that friend, I was going to kill myself that day, but because you just did something nice for me, I decided, okay, I can stick around. And he was awkward. He was backwards. But they're still a person. If one more light goes out in a sky of a million stars that flickers, who cares if one more light goes out? If a moment is all we are, who cares if one more light goes out? Well, I do. I find that ironic that Chester, the singer of Linkin Park, also wrote that song. I think it's because he still cared. He still wanted to be around. And he cared for people that had committed suicide. He lost to himself.
He lost to a situation that was too painful for him to be in. And we have no idea what his situation was.
We don't know if that was beyond his control or was in it.
But I guess for my final thoughts, I don't know if you have any.
We'll see.
But I would just say that there is hope and happiness ahead.
Oh, totally.
And that...
But the darkness might be there for another month or another year.
Definitely. And that... just hold on. Like, in those moments, just hold on for a little bit longer. I know that might feel like asking so much. And I've been in those situations where I have not been able to... I felt like I couldn't hold on any longer. And that's scary. But I know that, you know, just holding on a little longer helped me get into a place where I was able to talk to someone and to get it sorted out. And it takes a lot of strength to keep going. And
keep going.
No, it's all good.
Listen to the song by Josh Groban, You Are Loved. Because you are. We love you. We care about you. That's why we're doing this. We're not doing this for us.
Yeah. It dredges up a lot of stuff and makes us a pretty vulnerable to the entire campus / internet.
/ anybody that listens.
But honestly, Nick and I are passionate about helping others who were in positions like us or who are in different positions that that people don't necessarily understand as well.
And we are, I don't know about Aaron's probably better at this than me, but I'm not perfect at a lot of what I shared with you. And you don't have to be perfect. For those that want to help, you don't have to have all the answers. You don't have to be perfect. You just have to be there. And that's...
Just be kind.
That means the most.
Yeah. Just be kind and try to understand. That's probably basically what sums it up. Try to understand, be kind, and... Look at your options, look at your resources. So, anyway, that's us. Thanks, guys, for listening.
Signing off.
Yeah, signing off.
Yours mentally.
Yours mentally.
Nick Moyle.
Aaron Smith. Thanks. Thank you for checking out today's podcast. If you have any questions about what we talked about in the episode, please feel free to shoot us an email. Our email address is goingmentalusu@gmail.com. We also have additional resources linked to our page at usu.edu/radio. Thanks for listening.